Rolling on, this is Ego and Vice. This is episode 35.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, what's up? My name is Mike. This is Ego and Vice, episode 35. How are you? Good. Oh, I'm also good. Yeah, man, coming around, starting to feel like myself again. Went through like a little spat there, but you know, after a while, you have to kind of pull your big boy pants up and say, fuck it, let's go forward, let's move forward. So, what better way to move forward than with a podcast? Fucking 35. I did a solo podcast last week, basically got a lot of shit off my chest, answered a email question from a listener, hopefully I helped out with that, and talked about everything that has been going on with me, with the bands, the Riptides, Goat, that type of shit. So I'm not going to rehash that again because, you know what, I'm sick of talking about myself. So I'll go right into what I have coming up. I had I had a band in the Salted Studio. They're a local band called Belle Anana. That is, in translation to English, is Beautiful Pineapple. Hey, man, that's cool, man. It's different, right? They're good dudes. They've been around for about 3 years. They're a power trio, much like Goat is a power trio. Mario, Joel, and Eric were in. And funny tidbit of information, which you'll hear about in the conversation, is that Joel, the actual guitar player from Belle Anana, designed the Goat logo, the Goat Man, Goatsy, our mascot. So super cool. And I also was able to work out some plans to make some new artwork for some new merch, which should be coming out. Hopefully you're right around the time the new Goat album, the new Goat EP drops, which should be maybe July. Hopefully we'll work that out. We'll figure it out. Yeah, man. So anyway, I had a good conversation with these guys. It's kind of a funky interview. I don't know. These guys just talk about whatever the fucking they feel like talking about, but I had fun with them. They're nice guys. And, you know, we had a blast. We played some of their music, and I can't wait for you guys to fucking check them out. Cool, man. All right, let's just get right into it. This is a song from Belle Anana. When I come back from this tune, on the other side of this tune, we'll have the interview. So this is Hail to the Trash. Hail to the Trash. Off their brand new record called Hello Hoopla. This is Belle Anana. Beautiful Pineapple, motherfuckers. Hey, welcome back. This is Mike. This is episode 35 of Ego and Vice. And as promised, in the studio tonight, in Southwood Studios, I have Mario, Joel, and Eric from the band Belenina. How was that?
Right. That's good. Perfect.
I've been struggling with that that name for a while because I don't speak French very good. And me being me, I didn't even actually kind of realize it was French. I thought it said,
me neither.
I said, that's some crazy English right there. How are you doing, guys?
Super great, thanks. How are you doing?
I am well. I'm doing good. You know, another crazy day. Looking forward to summer. It's a beautiful day. How can I complain? I got a fresh beer. I got some friends in the studio, so that's the way she goes. So, Belenina. Fuck, I'm going to fuck that up.
Sorry,
that
sounds
like shit. No, yeah. That was good.
Let's talk about the band. Let's talk about maybe individually. Just talk about what you guys do. What do you do in the band? Let's start with Eric.
Well, my name's Eric. I play bass and I try to sing in key. We never really settled the lead vocalist thing in this band, so we just try to do it all together.
Do you guys switch off vocals?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's an ongoing story, too, with funny curves and catches. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I play bass. I think about stuff a little too long to have some odd ideas here and there, like band names such as Belenina.
Belenina.
Getting good. But, yeah, no, I just try to follow these guys because they're really high skilled.
All right, Joel.
Hi, I'm Bob. I play bongos in Katy Perry's. No, wait,
you
I
play bongos,
did.
Man.
I don't play the bongos. I wish I had some bongos. I'm Joel. I play guitar and I yell most of the time, I guess. Again, we kind of, when we started the band, we're like, someone will sing eventually. And it ended up being me most of the time.
Okay. And last but not least, Eric. I mean, Mario, pardon me.
I was the bongo player.
First but not last.
The real bongo player.
The real bongo player.
I play the drums and sometimes I sing. Or backup mostly. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And as far as you guys individually, I guess you guys have been playing around Ottawa for a while, like outside before you started this project. You guys have been around for quite a bit. Did you guys want to talk about that? Give the good listener a little history of who we got sitting with us.
I'm Nobody from Saskatoon, and I used to play in like 40 bands in Saskatoon that no one's ever heard of.
So you're not originally from Ottawa? You're from from the Saskatoon?
I'm from a small town in Saskatchewan, and I went to university in Saskatoon.
Okay. And so you haven't been in Ottawa as that long?
I've been in Ottawa for 10 years, but I wasn't in a band for the first like 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
It's only recently that I kind of came across these guys and we started playing rock music together. I jam with a whole bunch of people, but this is like the only actual band I'm in right now.
Like the active band where you've been hitting, you know, playing shows and shit like
yeah,
that. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Eric?
Well, I spent about 9 years, 9 years as a lead singer of Shot by Jack here on the local scene. So I got to explore the Ottawa venues thoroughly and some of them on the Gatineau side of the water. The scenes don't always mix, but it's been getting better than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
So no, we never really produced much but a few demos and samplers, but no, we got to play a lot of shows, go all the way to Quebec City, and while we didn't go too far in Ontario, we got to play two rock fests in Montebello. And when that died, I was a DJ for 3 or 4 years at the Ukwa here on Friday nights in Hull, playing punk rock for people, keeping a hand on that for a while. Mm-hmm. Until they closed for a bit for renovations.
Cool.
Then I met these guys, and I learned to play bass, and then I learned to sing and play bass because that didn't come right away.
Okay.
The scene seems to be uprising all over again with a steady number of bands happening right now.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. I think the Ottawa music scene is a vast, wonderful place to start anything, whether it's a new band that you've been around forever or it's a brand new band that, you know, you're just trying to kind of get your feet wet. A lot of great places to play, a lot of welcoming people that will really take you under their wing type of thing. But what about you, Mario? Let's hear it.
Well, I started playing like local bars when I was super young, like 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
In my brother's band, mostly the first band I played bass.
Wait a second, how'd you get into these bars at 14 years old?
back in the days, all the punk shows were all ages, so
okay,
it was like if you had a band, you could play.
Right? Okay, cool.
And
man,
I guess like yeah, so we played like Liquid Monkey. I don't know if like anybody remembers that. Liquid Monkey was a bar on Murray Street, and all the punk shows were there. So I played bass in a band with my brother Alex called Living Ethic when I was like 15 or whatever, and then I played some shows in another band, a hardcore band. When I was like, it was all in the 90s, and I kind of stopped playing for a bit because I was skating too much. That's where I was leaning towards more.
Skateboarding?
No, actually rollerblading.
Rollerblading.
Yeah, like
inline skating.
Yeah, aggressive inline skating. I see. Know, it's kind of dead now, but actually Sarah's boyfriend.
Joshua Boyd. Yeah, yeah, you know Josh? Josh? Boyd.
Yeah, I know Josh.
Yeah, he's scene. Yeah,
he's pretty good.
I think he used to be pro, didn't he?
I don't know if you know. I think
in his own mind. Like, there you go, Josh.
Like the whole scene died and shit. You know what I mean? And yeah. Just like back in the 90s, it was cool and kind of died off. And I kind of stopped everything.
Yeah.
And then I started playing in a reggae, hip hop, funk band for quite a few years, like 5 years. And we had like decent success, I guess.
Cool, man.
In Ottawa and traveled. And then, I mean, I've always played guitar and drums in the interim and stuff. But like, and then finally I met Joel through like some friends and started playing punk again. Like my true love is punk.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm curious the story of how the band got together. So why don't you three, you don't have to do it individually, I know I'm being like, what do you say now, this and yeah. Why don't all three of you have a conversation on the mics and tell us how the band got together?
Well, Eric came down from space one day in this UFO and he said, I want to play the bit. No, okay, so what happened? Okay,
I guess
so
you and I used to play in a band called Toss.
Yeah, so Mario and I got basically recruited by mutual friends of ours to play in this kind of rockabilly punk band called Tosca. We didn't know each other before. We're basically four complete strangers in a room trying to play like Ramones and Clash covers and stuff, and it was really fun. We played for about a year and a half, probably.
Yeah,
and we basically. You know how in the House of Targ, when the machine stops working, they put a sticker that says out of magic?
Out of magic, yeah.
Yeah, we ran out of magic. We're like, okay, so we're done with this project. We're not going to get any further with it. And Mario and I had some pretty good chemistry. And so
like, we don't want to stop playing, man. Like, me neither.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was talking to, like, one of our mutual friends. Now.
You got a mic in hand. Got a mic in hand.
Yeah, I was like, I was at work. And
he's
I'm like,
you talking remember to, that time?
Yeah. Like, I was talking to one of me and Eric's mutual friends. We're like, man, my band just broke up. Do you know any bass players? And she's like, yeah, actually. I'm like, cool. Give me his digits. And finally, I just like Facebooked him. He's like, yeah, man, we'll come to our practice. We sucked the first time, man.
Oh, we were great. Yeah. We totally, what did we play? We probably.
Well, we went from going from rockabilly to skate punk.
Yeah.
And I hadn't played skate punk in like 20 years.
Which have some kind of comparison, though, because it's all the.
Yeah, but it's more like a fast beat compared to like a straight punk. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know how to. I'm not a professional musician, but yeah, it just went like we just switched from going slow punk to fast punk,
mm-hmm.
too quick, and
yeah,
it was a disaster, but it's fun.
It took us a little while to get into it, yeah. And like while Eric was still learning to play the bass at the time, so it was a learning curve for all of us. I'd never sung lead in a band before, so that was a learning curve for me as well. It's just like I'll play bass or guitar or whatever needs to be done until we get a band together.
So you were like the Sid Vicious of Balanana? Like, well, he doesn't need to know how to play bass. We'll teach him.
No, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I had been through some odd auditions here and there, I guess. I did have a chance to work maybe 4 months with the guys at Colors Fade just because they didn't have any bass players to play with them. And mm-hmm. It got me up to speed a lot on playing. It was a great chance to learn. And, but then, yeah, this acquaintance of ours, Kate, she sent me an email, with them copied to it about, joining them the jam or something. And it was kind of just like, okay, who are these guys and what do we do? I mean, I've had some awkward experiences already, but I was up for it. And then, you know, like the first thing you'll want to do in a jam room is lay down some covers to get
each
together.
Other out. Yeah, see if you're somewhat compatible.
I think out of the four or five songs, I knew one of them. I knew the Lagwagon and NoFX song, but everything else was foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we even do?
There was SNFU. I had not gone through the SNFU phase yet.
I was like, I insisted we have to do at least one SNFU song. Now we do like five.
Oh, yeah. And the first thing is I showed up all baked and you were like, yeah, I want to do the Misfits and reggae. So I was like, all right, let's stick around and find out what this is all about.
That was my idea?
It was one of the things you insisted on.
Okay.
So it stood out to me. I was like, okay, I'll first of all need to learn to play some reggae. Second of all, need to learn some Misfits, and then I'll join you.
Cool. And when was this around? Like what year or what month?
Three years ago? July, I think.
Yeah, it'll be 3 years on July 14th. Facebook will remind me.
The 9th.
The 9th? Yeah, it was totally July 9th. Yeah.
We played our last show at Targ, and then like we just disbanded, whatever. And I think a few weeks later, or like whatever, the week later, because we still had time at Capitol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't too long after that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Cool, man.
That was a weird time when, like, you and I were playing acoustic guitars together all the time. And, like, I was in a ska band that broke up on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And I started trying to start a new project with those people, including Sarah Destruction, who you know. And
Norwell.
It was, yep. Yeah. That was a weird time. Like, for a brief period, Mario and I were both in, like, four bands at the same time. And they just kind of coalesced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So you guys who's the big SNFU fan? You are?
That'll be me. Julie. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Sarah, I don't know if this is going to make the air. I'll say it on the air, but I might have to edit it out later. I go to open for SNFU at the Dom, like maybe
there.
3 years ago.
I was there, yeah.
But I played with SNFU when I was younger in Thunder Bay, and I met Kenny Tripig.
Tripig, yeah.
And back then he was a bit of a mess.
He still is.
Back in the day.
I love him, but he's still a mess. Yeah.
He came through when they put SNFU back together, maybe for the second time. It was not with the Blakeys. It was like, or a Belkies, or Mark and... Muck and
fuck, and Bunt.
Bunt.
I named my snowshoes after them. I remember.
Right.
Muck
it
and
was
Bunt.
When they came through and Chai had the long hair and the big beard and shit like that. And he was just happy to be there. And we went and talked to him and had some drinks and shit like that. He was the sweetest fucking guy in the world. He was just happy to be off meth. I can't use any of it, but he was just happy to be there on the road again, you know what I mean, playing with the band. And it was to the point where he was like bothering us so much that we had to lose him, because he was just hanging off of us and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then we saw him again when
that was with Goat.
No, this is when we just went to see him, because he was kind of coming through Ottawa. And the next time he came through was the time that Goat had the show with him at the Dom. And he was like completely, completely different. And he was such a fucking miserable, miserable prick. And I you know what? I'm going to say this because I'm not going to say this. I can't say it. I'll say it off air. But I'll say it on air and I'll just edit it out. But yeah, speaking of Sarah went up to him and was just like, hey, Chai, how are you doing? You know, you've always been a hero of mine and whatever. You've always been like, I love your music and shit. And he was like looking at her and he's like, if you were my friend, I'd fucking kill myself. And he was just being such a fucking prick. I saw him downstairs in the bathroom before the show. And I'm like, Ken, how's it going? And we've met like many times. And he looked at me and he walked, put his head down and he walked by me and he was with some dude. And he's like, they always try to talk to me before a show. And he like walked upstairs with his little pink pig hat. And I was just fuck you, man. You ungrateful prick. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'll edit all that out. I just had to tell that story. that won't be on your podcast, I promise.
Fair enough. I still love him. I also realize that he's a total asshole. I've met him too, but
moody,
yeah.
Bipolar. And there's nothing wrong. He has some mental health and his addictions. I respect that. And you know, he's
come a long way and overcome a lot of things, but don't fucking shit on people that keep you where you are at your age, at your stage in your career, right? Like, be nice to people. Try your best. Sorry. Where were we? Where'd we leave off before my rant?
You named your snowshoes after...
I
hung up on that. I was like, yeah, we got a guy naming snowshoes after Ben.
I've gone through several pairs of snowshoes, and I named them after many, many people. Mm-hmm. I have several snowshoes named after guitar players from SNFU and also guitar players from other bands because I'm peculiar that way.
Okay.
I believe you. I've seen you snowshoe at my house.
Yeah, so, I do snowshoe around your house sometimes. I gotta make some better trails at your house. I had my main snowshoes for many years. I named them Muck and Bunt. They were my hardcore snowshoes.
Right.
And then I had like my dress snowshoes named Dallas and Travis after the guitar players in the Sadies.
Okay.
They're like,
oh shit, the Sadies, yeah.
Yeah, they wear suits on stage.
Those like, tall bastards.
Yeah, they're my fancy snowshoes. You've seen them play?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I just go and I just watch their fingers.
Yeah.
They're fucking amazing musicians. Holy shit. I just sit there and I look at their fingers going.
Yeah, and they play 100 songs a set.
Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. It's lots.
Yeah.
And they're tall, and they're creepy, but they're amazing, and they're loud, and they play 100 songs a set.
Yeah, yeah, and they're extremely nice, and I have snowshoes named after them as well.
For sure.
So all that to say that Bunt broke, my snowshoe named Bunt. I broke him in half, and I actually flew him across the country to hang him on my dining room wall. And Bunt is art now. And I don't think I have Muck anymore.
Okay.
I don't remember what happened to Muck. So, I think I traded Muck for like a pack of smokes or something.
So you guys were together. You met each other. You kind of started establishing the band. Played some cover songs. We just talked about SNFU, Lagwagon, stuff like that. Some reggae, that type of thing. When did you start actually writing songs, and when did the band's chemistry start coming together?
Well, I don't know. I needed a good month or two to make sure these guys liked me. We'd meet at the jam room, and we'd get to work right away, right? So we didn't. It took a little while for us to get to know each other.
It was all business.
It was all business, you know. My girlfriend would ask me like, "So how are the guys?" I was like, "I don't fucking know, but this song's coming and this song's coming, and
they seem nice."
Yeah, it's like all I want to do is go home and shower after, because we play in a pretty hot place. Yeah,
Jimmy Two Shirts over there is always wearing too many shirts.
But Joel just keeps writing songs and then just presenting them to us, and then we just.
Well, when our old band broke up, we had like 3 half-written songs left over. Like, well, we might as well start on these just so we have something to work on. And I'm the kind of person that every time I pick up a guitar, I come up with like 8 more riffs. And like 6 of them will be crap, but 2 of them might be usable. And so every jam I come, hey, what do you guys think of this one?
So you do most of the writing in the band?
I do most of the riff writing, and then we kind of arrange stuff together, and lyrics kind of happen eventually on their own, or they don't.
Like, I write all the lyrics, obviously.
Mario writes.
I can
all
barely
the lyrics.
Talk. No, I'm kidding.
Mario's trilingual, and he can't write lyrics. What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
I find, anybody who writes songs always has more half songs than they do full songs.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. You know, I'm also guilty of that. So, that's cool, man. Why don't we play a song?
Yeah,
anything you want. What we'll do is we'll talk for a bit. We'll play a song, come back, talk some more, and then. Let's do something. Let's play something.
Okay. What do you want to play?
You guys are the band. What do you want to hear?
From our record or?
Yeah.
Or anything. Oh.
This is your podcast.
What do you want?
I want to hear some Bangles.
Bangles? What the fuck is that?
Oh. Okay, never mind. I want to hear some Go-Go's. They're like the Bangles, but like more legit.
No, he wants to play our record.
You can pay the rights to the Bangles if you'd
this
like.
This guy's
you
more
can write
than
me. You can write me a check.
Yeah, there you go.
No, we'll talk about it during the break. But let's.
I say, look, I drove across the river on the way here. Launch it with SSBV. I had to drive by that site again. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that song.
Let's play the song. It's meaningful
long,
to us.
But sure. Yeah. It's good.
What's it called?
SSBV.
SSBV. All right, this is Bellanana. This is SFBV. SSBV.
Yeah.
Castle. it keeps them down. But when their eyes up, they're gonna rise up. So when their eyes up, they're gonna rise up as one.
So SSBV, what's that stand for?
It stands for Secret Special Bullshit Vessel.
Okay.
It's an idea I pitched to Joel and Mario one day. On actually, this was a compo that Joel had made us hear of his, but driving by the ZB project. And I came up with that analogy for what I was seeing being done about it. And then he wrote a masterpiece of a song.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I didn't think it was that much of a masterpiece, but yeah, give me a song topic and I'll go off on it, I guess. So we had this song. Originally, the lyrics were about nunchucks.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
When we had the nunchuck song?
That's right, Patricia pitched the nunchucks.
Yeah, Patricia
idea.
Pitched the nunchucks. It was a song about a kid being destructive with nunchucks, and the chorus was, that's when they took my nunchucks away.
Yeah, they were confiscated.
Yeah. But it was a brilliant idea. I really liked it. So it's about the Zibi condo project on Victoria Island, which is claimed by several nations as a sacred site. And so it's basically a song about the Ottawa Valley being on unceded territory and how the Canadian government continues to pretend that it's totally theirs and there's no dispute or anything. There are like five nations that claim the Ottawa Valley and Victoria Island in particular as a sacred site and contest everything that's done. But the cynicism is really strong within that community where the Canadian government continues to just do whatever they want on that land and just pretend it's okay. So So we're upset about that. Eric drives past it every week on his way to practice, and it inspired him a little bit, and it was maybe a little bit more coherent than a song about a little kid with nunchucks, although that was a fun ender to the song as well.
Fair enough. So when it comes to the lyric writing and to the substance of your band, like you sound like a fun band. Your music sounds fun, but
we try.
But you're actually writing certain songs about, you know, topics that are important to you or just important to other good fellow Canadians.
Yeah, well, I mean, lyrics, they show up when they show up. Generally, we'll work on music to a song long before we come up with any lyrics. And sometimes it's Eric that comes up with an idea, or sometimes it's me, but it varies a lot. We have songs about zombies and songs about radioactive pink slime and songs about serious political issues and songs about recycling. It's punk rock, so anything goes. It's not like...
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's not like there's any topic that's off limits, I don't think.
No, we'll go to French and English, and there's no boundaries. That's the fun part. I think that's why we're so creative and going back to recording already.
Cool. And speaking of creativity, you guys recorded this record by yourselves. You did it yourselves.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that process and how it all came to be?
Well, I mean, I don't know. At one point, we kind of decided that we had enough songs to do something with and decided that, I don't know, we didn't want to spend any money on it because we're a bunch of cheapskates. Mm-hmm. And we had the equipment to do something fairly DIY. Like I had a roommate at one point that had a studio in our shared house together. So I learned some tricks from that and like just set up some microphones and go for it. Like, if you can get it mixed properly, it's going to sound okay whether you record it in someone's garage or in a professional studio.
Yeah.
There will be a difference, but for what we were going for, it get something released. And
well, the idea was built where we had room in a garage for a few months where we could actually put the drum set down, the speakers right in front of it, and not move anything and work on it until we were at least done with drum tracks. And it really took on a life of its own. You came and stayed over for a while, like you camping out, and we were finishing touches and stuff. We dropped some songs though, right? There's maybe 3 or 4 songs we didn't even use. We had started recording and
yeah, we weren't happy with them, and
they weren't ready yet. Yeah.
Well, that happens, you know. Yeah.
But we got to work on our own pace, yeah. Just have endless time, at least. Yeah. Not be looking at your watch and worrying about the hours you're in that studio.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. That was my next question, too, is actually when you do it yourselves, like, how long did it take you guys to just get it all done, and when did you know it was done? And if you have endless time and you don't have to pay any money, then I guess you could have just went forever, right?
It's tempting, yeah, but we did...
Not forever, but...
We were doing it on weekends.
2 weekends with the drums.
We started in January.
As long as you have the drums, you can do the guitars and the bass anywhere and the vocals, whenever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we did the drums for like 16 tracks, and then because I was out of town a lot of the winter, and we took several more months to do the guitar tracks and bass and vocals and everything.
It actually took a year to release because we...
We started in January 2017, and we put the whole thing out in December.
So it was pretty much a year.
So we were finished recording by the end of the summer before we sent everything off to Steve.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, no, we were finished recording inside of 6 months. Yeah. Again, like weekends, doing whatever we felt like. And there were a couple of weekends where we got nothing done. We're like, I forgot to plug the thing in properly. Let's spend all day figuring that out.
Or we picked up a microphone that had this phantom setting that we couldn't even push. Right? We spent, an hour realizing that, oh, it's not us, it's the mic, we're getting nothing done.
Yeah, we were Googling stuff as we went. It was, it was very unprofessional, but it was a lot of fun, and a learning curve, too. But
How many tracks did you end up on that record, 10?
We ended up with 12 tracks.
12?
Yeah.
11 originals and one cover.
Yeah.
Cool. And who's the cover by?
We did Astro Zombies by The Misfits.
Oh, cool, man.
And we called it Rasta Zombie because it starts reggae and it ends.
So you kind of made it your own?
Yeah.
Cool. And you said you didn't mix the album. You got it recorded. You had everything laid down.
Yep.
And you shipped it off and said, here, make a record out of this.
Make it sound good, please.
Yeah. Yeah. We sent it to my friend Steve Luchuk, who I've known since we were like 8 years old in small town Saskatchewan. And he's got a studio in his house in Saskatoon. Unfortunately, he's really, really busy in the summers, and as soon as winter comes up, he's got time in the world to mix that sort of thing. But he's a pro. He has a really good ear for that sort of thing. I knew that he'd be able to do it on short notice, and the wintertime is when I'm completely busy and unavailable to do anything else. So basically he took over and gave us the finished product a couple of months later.
Cool.
Thanks again, Steve.
Big shout out. And when you got it back after all the garage time and all the missed tracks and the phantom powers and shit, and you actually listened back to the mixed everything, you guys were good. And you're like, we fucking did it.
Well, Joel was listening to it from a tent up north, like freezing his ass up north.
Yeah, I had to wait until I had a good enough internet connection to actually download anything, which I think took several weeks at that point. And then listening to it on crummy laptop speakers in a tent in northern Canada with howling winds outside and everything. I was like, I think this will be okay.
Yeah, that's cool. I find that, whenever I get anything back, like a mix or something like that, I have to listen to it in headphones. I have to just, put my headphones on and lay on the couch in the dark and keep the volume kind of low. I don't just blast it because whatever, just so I can kind of like take it all in and stuff. But the guy that I go to, I kind of know what I'm going to get, and I know it's going to be great, and very, very little. Did you have to send it back to remix it? How many mixes did you go through?
There were a couple of suggestions after the first mix, but not too many. I think we went through a second mix of like 4 or 5 songs, maybe.
It was mostly vocal.
I get really picky on my vocals. I feel like I'm just a butcher. Okay. So, and you know what? Like spending too much time worrying about it too. We cut something out where I was like, "Oh fuck,
why
did we
take that out?" Put back stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, take this out. No, put it back.
I sound horrible. Why do I sing like this, me?
Why do you sing like that, you?
But no, like I mean it. I'm more of a listen into the go for a drive, close, have all the windows the up, right? I don't want to hear the wind coming in. I want to hear the crisp sound. And no, I was kind of thrilled. I was like, what did he do? What did he do? It sounds a lot better.
Yeah, he's a wizard. I relied on these two guys for feedback. I'm like, from what I can tell, it's fine. But again, my connection's not good enough to actually tell. I trust the guy I sent it to. So.
And that record is called Hooray for Hoopla?
Oh, hello Hoopla.
Hello Hoopla. I'm sorry. Hoopla. My research is poor. Sorry, it's summertime. The sun. I've had taken too much vitamin D. Hello Hoopla. That's cool, man. Hello. During that process, I guess you guys had been, once you got together and you started writing the record over the course of the time that you've been together, I guess you've been playing some shows and whatnot. How has the response been to just like the live shows and that? Kids are digging it or what?
Well, that's the fucked up part is we haven't even talked about it. We haven't really talked about it live because Joel kept writing songs and... I guess we never played a set long enough to play our entire
album. We basically just put it on Bandcamp, and that's pretty much it.
And then we talked about making a CD, and then that became a whole fucking story.
Did we bring one?
Did you bring one? I didn't bring one.
I was going to bring one for him. But
so it's,
we didn't bring any.
Nothing. It's mainly released digitally then?
Yeah, well, we have some CDs made. Yeah, we got DIY with the covers as well, where we cut up old LP covers and repainted them with our logo and stuff. And
that was
fun for these guys to deal with while I was living in the tent and being like, yeah, the band is yours now. I'm doing my thing.
Gota's ever since we started playing like 7 years ago, Gota's always done like for CDs and shit like that. We just do them DIY. It's like a lot of digital.
Yeah,
vinyl's expensive and it takes a long time to get back and stuff like that. And we live in an age where you can just push your music on any format you want, whether it be Spotify, YouTube, Bandcamp. There's so many places to get your music out there. I find that we were putting so much time into like, we need a product for, you know, for merch and for this, for whatever. But nobody really wanted to buy the CDs because nobody really wants CDs anymore.
Well, so. Pretty but much giving them out. Look at these though. I can see the ones on your walls, and there are a lot of them are professional products.
No, they're all DIY.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean. We hand painted ours. It's kind of grown a life of its own.
Okay.
And the next one will hopefully we can put some budget together and let somebody else worry about it because now we got rid of all of the first batch we made and we gotta make more. We gotta sit down, do some arts and crafts again.
You know what a good way to do it? Like it's fun to make CDs. It's fun to like the goat head there, like you're looking at the wall there. Like we cut those out with like razor blades, and the whole gimmick of that was that you could open the CD up and you could use it as a stencil and spray paint it on a wall.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Yeah. But the time it takes and you don't make any money off of it. So I don't know. Yeah. I think a cool thing nowadays is like a download card.
Yep.
Like if you just want to do that, you can buy like a whole bunch of download cards where you scratch the little thing and then they just go to your site and they can just download the music for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but you have to like, you know, are you guys like on like any distribution with like CD Baby or anything like that? You should look into that.
Just Bandcamp for now. And then for now, it's just Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And we have the handouts that we pretty much hand out. I think we sold just like a few. Maybe three.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. If you get like you'll have to pay for it, but if you get like a distribution site like CD Baby, they'll basically you pay them their X amount of dollars and they'll push your music everywhere. That's where you can get on like Spotify, which is the big one now. And
are you guys on Spotify?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know it's good, and that's you know people who are gonna listen to music today. Sure, they could buy vinyl, but vinyl doesn't sell as well as you think it does either. You know, people don't want to spend $20 for. Fuck's sakes.
Fuck you phone.
People, you know, it's cool to have vinyl, but people don't want to go to a punk show and spend fucking $20 on a record. You know what I mean? They will, but you won't move as much as you think you will.
Yeah.
You can.
I'd
make,
spend $5 on a 7-inch, but $20 on an album is like that's an investment. Yeah, like
you can make CDs and just give them away because they're DIY. But chances are people aren't gonna fucking go home and throw them in their CD players. Like, cause who does that anymore? You know what I mean? Your CD player is like your PS4 nowadays.
Yeah, no, you're counting on the some people still driving cars.
Yeah, but even then, you know what I mean? Even then, you turn on you Bluetooth your MP3 player or your Bluetooth your phone or something, right?
I personally. All the bands that have handed me CDs, they've actually had a longer shelf life in my car if they've ended up in that small rotation in there, you know, because every now and then I'll forget my phone or whatever that has all my digital shit and the radio isn't cutting it. So, yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's an interesting conundrum these days, though. Like, what do you do with your music? Do you bother putting it on any physical media? Like, we've talked about this as well. Do we stamp? Like, I'm not going to give away any of our hot ideas, but like, do we put our logo on like a bag of coffee and be like, hey, buy Belenana coffee. It comes with a download card. It's like $5 for the bag of coffee. Plus you get some music. Like, do you just say like, go on our Bandcamp page and download it for free or pay what you can?
Well, first of all, chances are people that go see your band probably won't listen to your music afterwards anyway. Like as far as a recorded thing, it's like, it's like more of a live show. You're not going to make any money off your music as far as like a physical copy of it or even digital. People will just find it free. They pay $9 a month for Spotify. They'll listen to it. They'll move on and shit like that. If you want to make some money and to fund shit, it's all about merch.
Yeah. No, we're not looking to make money.
It's all about t-shirts and shit like that. You know,
like
what I mean?
Mario said, we're giving shit away. Like we're not in it for the money. It's just kind of like, do we bother coming up with a physical product or we just say
it's like we're all 36 plus, 35 plus, and like we're like at this point in time in our lives,
fun playing shows.
We're playing a punk band. Yeah. We do it for the love, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like obviously, it's all about
the
love.
If we could get a show here and there, we'd love to play anywhere for free.
Yeah, man. If you're in punk rock and you're like myself, north of 35, you're not doing it for money by any means. You know what I mean? You want people to listen to your music, but the only time they're going to listen to your music is if they really, really like you and they're a friend of yours, and they will find you like digitally or whatever. But the only way they're really going to hear your music is if they come check out a show, right? And the only time you're ever going to make money is if they buy a t-shirt and shit like that. So it really is a labor of love, I think, in the long run.
Absolutely.
Always. That's why we do it. Yeah. We love it.
Yeah. That's it. If you're still capable of doing it, if you still have the outlet to do it, then absolutely, man. Then
every time you're up on stage, there's at least somebody new that never saw you play before.
Well, that's
there's
the
always
point,
a
you
chance
know?
To make you know somebody
I
mean?
Else. Even if
so
there's just, one.
Yeah.
You
know,
like, yeah. So when it comes to your music, just make your live show the best thing that as far as the music goes, because no one's going to listen to your CD. Not you guys in particular, just in general. No one cares about your CD. They may buy your record just to make it look like they have more records than their friend. You know what I mean? I have so many records now and shit like that. But
this guy's more punk than me.
Yeah. There are people like me that like, I will buy a CD from a band if I like them, even if I know I'm never going to listen to the CD. It's just like...
Supporting.
If I want to support a local band, this is like the way I can do it. Like you said, merch. Buy the CD, buy the t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt.
It's like we were talking on the way here. We're like, I don't think I've ever bought a CD that wasn't... a local band. If it wasn't Columbia House, I think I bought like a Green Day CD. I can see you have a Green Day tattoo.
Is that a Green Day tattoo?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, cool. I got that when I was 17 years old in Thunder Bay, Ontario, where I used to live. That tattoo's older than most of my...
You're from the Teabag?
I'm from Teabag.
Nice.
24 years. Okay. I lived there. Born and raised.
Cool.
Yeah, I got this tattoo because I really liked... Kerplunk.
Yeah, me too. Yep. That was like the first two CDs I ever bought was 39 Smooth and Kerplunk.
Check out this. Hang on one sec.
After it.
Sorry, this is privy to people privy. In the studio only. Check out that show. 1993.
I'll say vintage.
Holy
Green
goodness.
Day. Green
Bad
Day.
Bad Religion. Damn.
Green Day opening for Bad Religion.
Green Day opening for Bad Religion.
Shit.
This was before like 94 where Dookie dropped and Green Day fucking blew up.
Wow.
Yeah.
October 10th. I saw them a year later or something.
That I bought a Dookie cassette. Or not Dookie, a Kerplunk cassette at that show. And that's when around the time I got the tattoo. And then Dookie hit and I was like, fuck this tattoo. But I'm not a big tattoo guy anymore, so it's crazy, right?
Yeah,
I was just kid, man. Went
Just get local shows. Yes,
hitchhiked down to Minneapolis and saw fucking went for Bad Religion, and there's this band called Green Day opening. I'm like, who the fuck is Green Day? And they played, and they I didn't even want to see Bad Religion after. I was like, that was fucking amazing. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, let's play another song of Hello Hoopla. What do you guys want to hear?
That's you guys want to hear the ooze?
I want to hear the ooze.
Okay, let's hear the ooze. That's a weird one.
All right. This is a song called Off Hello Hoopla. This is Bellanana. This is the ooze.
You got it.
This is Ego and Vice.
And cracks in the sidewalk. It's dripping from trees. An apartment rooftop too. Won't see a thing till the sun has gone down. It's the big ooze that coats all the best shit in town. And your moves get slicker, your tricks get sicker, your pulse gets quicker once you've been slicked by the ooze. So come get your fix if you choose. You're nothing to lose. Of the world off our backs, and we'll see things through pink oozy glasses. We'll kick up this town when we're shaking our asses. Our moves get slicker, our tricks get sicker, our pulse gets quicker once we've been slicked by the ooze. So pull on your slimy and shoes and go for a cruise.
So Joel, you are a artist,
partially
as far as drawing and painting, I suppose. Do you just sketch or draw?
Yeah, drawing and painting.
As you know, Goat has a logo right now, and it is, we call him the Goat Man. If you've ever seen any Goat merch,
I have.
Yeah, pins and then the back patches and the T-shirts and shit. There's a guy on it. His name is Goatsy. We call him the Goat Man. And you actually designed that T-shirt.
I didn't realize his name was Goatsy. That's a good name for him.
Goatsy, yeah. Goatsy the Goatman, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about you? I think that's an amazing thing. Like, I love the artwork.
Thanks.
And have you ever done anything for other bands? Like, or have you ever put yourself out there as far as, like, reaching out to people and saying, hey, I could design some fucking cool shit for you? Because what you did for us is amazing.
Thanks. Well, I don't put it out there very often. I have put it out there, and
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay, do the intro for me, Mario. Okay, so you're an elite company. Other than my friends' bands, the only band I've ever done an album cover for is NoFX. I did
what?
I did a 7-inch cover for them. Yeah.
No shit.
One of the very first paintings I did, actually. This was, a long time ago. They were doing the 7-inch of the month club. This was probably 15 years ago, eh? It was early 2000s, I think. And they put a call out for like, hey, we're going to put out 12 7-inches and we want free art. And I was like, well, I'm learning to paint. I'll just paint something for you. And I sent it to them and they ended up using it, which was cool. So I got 12 free NoFX 7-inches. Like that was my payment. That's the sum total of my artistic career's income.
That's a great
that NoFX sent me a bunch of 7-inches for free.
With your art on them.
Well, one of them with my art on them and the other 11, like other people did the other 11 of them.
Oh, that's fucking rad. That's amazing. Good for you. Hey, thanks.
You were in another big project last year, too. You released.
What?
You're.
Who? What?
You had a book release.
I had a book release?
You had a book release.
I had a book release?
Joel, for me.
I don't know what you're talking
about. I don't really care about a book. Joel, to me, kind of peaked with Goatsy, so.
Yeah,
what do you mean you had a book release? What's that? What's he talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Don't you draw like coloring books?
Oh yeah, I did coloring books too.
My son loves. He's like, oh my god.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty. Yeah, so I drew some pictures that ended up in some coloring books. I made my own coloring book as well.
What's it about?
It's not about anything. It's about. I mean, it's mostly weird drawings of creatures that I drew rather than watching the movie that was on the TV in front of me. It's like, well, movies are movies, whatever. I'm just going to draw some weird bug creatures. So I did that, and I made a coloring book out of them.
Well,
I'd forgotten about that. That wasn't last year. That was several years ago.
Oh, well, I'm always late. You know how time lapses.
You are always late. It's true.
Well, in the idea of the Goat Man and what you've done for us as far as our merch, because we were talking about how merch is a huge important part of being in a band. If you want to move some merch and at least even to just make enough money to get some gas to get to the next gig or maybe eat the next day, I don't know what kind of dire straits you're in. Would you be open to like doing that for other bands, or am or can I just like lock you in a little box and say you're only gonna do Goats?
No, you can do stuff for our band.
I could also do stuff for our band. I've thought about it in the past. I'm like, nah, other people could do better for our band.
We
like
stuff for Bad Uncle too, right? I don't know if they ever used.
No, they never released it. We probably have to edit that out now.
Because what I can do, if I could help in any way, like I can on this podcast, because I do have a platform to push some stuff. If you were open to like doing some stuff for other bands, just leave like some contact information. I will post the Goat Man once again on the Ego and Vice podcast site. Cool. If you like the artwork, get a hold of Joel and maybe he'll give you like maybe you can talk to him and maybe you can work something out and make some cool shit for your logos and stuff like that for your band or like a mascot.
Absolutely, get in touch with me. I have some free time in the summer and I'm open to stupid ideas.
Cool, man. So there you go.
Not that the Goatsy was stupid. I loved Goatsy. Yeah. Goatsy's beautiful. I love him.
It's amazing. I saw that thing the first time I saw it. I remember as you were doing it, you were sending me drafts, I suppose.
Yeah, iterations of Goatsy.
Yeah, and I was like,
he evolved over time.
And you were with Sarah Destruction, and I'm like, where are you? How are you doing this? Like, how is it getting done? And here you are now, and that's fucking amazing, man. You have an ability to really help out local bands and shit like that, as far as that, and I'd jump all over that if I were you. If I could do that, fuck, I'd do that.
If anyone needs a hoofed mammal for their band logo, please get in touch with me. I work for cheap.
Yeah. Do you have an email or a link you want to drop?
I will drop you my link because I don't remember what it is right now. But I do. But I do have an artist page somewhere. I'll have to find it for you.
I will definitely put that in the comments of this episode of Ego and Vice. So when you guys look at it, you can find it. And please reach out to him because he's got some good shit. And he's going to design the new Goatsy for us.
That's totally true.
It's cool, man. Okay, let's do. Before we go into this segment, do you guys have anything coming up or any links for the band that you want to promote?
Just the show on the Monday.
We've been playing a lot of shows for Alex at Pandemonium, who's been
Alex really, Hodges.
Yeah,
he's a good dude. He's been on the show. Yeah, he's
helping
guy.
Everybody on the local scene a lot, and everybody should start coming out more to those shows. They're fun. They're not expensive at all either. And I'm a big fan of this small venues and fun crowds kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. What is it, June 11th?
Yeah, we have
a Monday. It's a Monday.
Monday, June 11th.
It's a school night, but it's school but is school out.
School night in
school
June.
School is out, so
school
yeah,
out come on out. June 11th? What? Saying, school didn't used to get out until right. July in my day. Man, in well, my high day, we used to out, walk uphill both ways to the out. High school for 382 days a year. And if you were late, man, you got whacked with the ruler.
God dang it. Uphills both ways.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. In 4 feet of snow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. 8 feet in the winter.
Cool. I have something on Ego and Vice I call the rapid question period. You guys want to partake in this?
Let's do it.
Right, yeah, I'm ready.
You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about?
Any questions?
Okay, so this is my rapid question period with Mario, Joel, and Eric. You guys ready for this?
Rapid.
Okay, I'll ask the question, and you can each go boom, 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 okay?
Boom.
Okay. We'll start with Mario, we'll go to Joel, we'll go to Eric.
Clockwise, that seems fair.
Here it comes. What is your biggest musical influence?
I would say Green Day.
Chuck Berry.
Propaganda.
Propaganda. All right. What is the first record you bought with your own money? Record, CD, tape, doesn't matter.
It was Green Day.
theme going on over there.
I got to think about that. It was probably something by AC/DC, actually.
Something by
and AC/DC. Columbia House doesn't count, right? Because
no.
High Voltage by AC/DC. High that voltage? Was the first one, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was Satanic Surfers 666 Driving.
Nice. Okay. What was the last music you listened to?
Fuck, I don't even want to say it, but it was...
Green Day?
No, actually. I don't listen to Green Day anymore, man. But it was Rage Against the Machine in my car, so don't lie.
Nothing wrong with that.
Rage Against the Machine in Mario's car. Before that, we were listening to Linton Kwesi Johnson in my living room.
Right.
The St. Catharines, and before that, Blondie.
Nice.
Which Blondie?
You make me feel whatever you make me sound vinyl like I have a at home. I forget shit. Which one.
But yeah.
Is it, right. The, is it the only Blondie that I don't have?
It might be. You should come and see my record collection.
I have seen your record collection. I don't you haven't you seen it like Blondie. Like. Okay. Is it Eat to the Beat?
I don't remember.
Fine.
It's his question. Around.
It's his it's my questions. It's his answers. All right. Here we go. Cats or dogs?
Dogs. 100%.
Cats. Dogs.
Dogs. Okay. What's your favorite song?
Fuck, I don't have one.
Everybody has one.
Really? Damn. Okay, you guys go first.
Corruption by Thomas Mapfumo and the Blacks Unlimited.
That's what I was going to say. That's my favorite song, too.
It's everybody's.
Well, one of my the one I have in mind right now, NoFX, Bruce, Eddie, and Paul.
Cool. Back to you, Mario.
Oh, I can't pick. Since it would probably be a song by like Propaganda or... Not Green Day, though. Definitely not Green Day.
Screaming Females.
Sure. Ripe.
Cool. That's a good song.
Yeah. Yeah, we've
sure. I'll just throw one out. I just think that's not a question I can answer at any point in time in life.
It's a tough one. Yeah. 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 It's trying to I narrow think it's
like
something
when
down
you're like in it, that's my favorite song at that point, at that time in life, and then it switches to another one. So I can't. Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
It's like, why do you like music?
You can't commit anyway, to a song. He's like, yeah, I'm going to say this, but I can't commit to that.
Okay. Anyway.
This is forever.
This is kind of the same idea, but it's a little narrowed down because there's so many songs. But what's your... today, what's your favorite band? Doesn't have to define you, just today.
I would say it's a band from Brazil called Uhapa. He's very political and like lyrical, and he talks about like... A lot of stuff that's going on in Brazil that's very important. So I think Uhapa is like the man for me. Yeah.
Cool.
Burning Spear.
I'm still going to say Propaganda.
Propaganda.
From growing up, they've, I don't know. That's all I'll say.
Cool, man. All right. Next question. What was the first concert or show you ever saw?
Green Day.
That one trick pony over here.
Pretty sure it was Green Day.
Tragically Hip, The Odds, and Change of Heart.
Nice.
I was 7 years old and I saw the Beach Boys here in Ottawa. Here in Ottawa at the Super X at the Civic Media Center. Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome.
With the Everly Brothers or something like that.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, nice.
I love the Everly Brothers.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. What was the last concert or show you saw?
Well, I guess it was our show last weekend, but the last show that I paid to go to was I guess it was Propagandhi.
That was a while back.
Dude. Branson Center?
Yeah, I that guess was a while so. Back. Well, I've been to other shows after that. I just can't remember.
Okay, we'll go with Propagandhi. That's a good answer.
I guess so. Yeah.
I went to Drone Day this weekend. I saw like 5 different artists at Drone Day. And before the day before that, I saw Jeremy Dutcher, which was also excellent.
Okay.
Last I saw was Strung Out and Pennywise. Yeah, at that Branson.
Branson Center.
Branson Center.
Okay. What is your death row meal?
Feijoada. It's a Brazilian dish. So, yeah, I'm half Brazilian, so that's kind of part of what I like.
What is it?
It's just beans and rice and a bunch of meat and like with colored greens. It's just very simple.
Comfort food.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
any kind of curry.
Curry. Okay.
Well, I would have said pizza, but the Thai soup we have before shows. No, that would be what I have. Yeah.
Thai soup before meals, or before shows.
Yeah.
It's kind Thai of
soup before dying.
With sriracha sauce, yeah.
You mean pho?
Yeah. If it makes my fucking face sweat. It's not Thai, Vietnamese. Sweat. Oh, it's Vietnamese. Okay. Sorry, I'm very not attentive.
What is your death row song?
Man,
last song you can listen to before they pulled the switch.
It would have to be a sad song.
You wouldn't want to get fired up? No. Gar!
Why can't we be friends? Oh. You guys go first.
All right. I gotta go with See You in Hell by Twisted Sister.
Oh, that's probably the best answer I've ever had on this podcast.
Thank you.
For that question.
Quick thinking.
I love it.
I'll say Rusty Cage by Johnny Cash.
Huh?
Rusty Cage.
Yeah. That's a Soundgarden song.
Yeah.
You like his
Johnny
version.
Cash version. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. That's awesome.
Because I can play it alone.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
There's the rebound back to Mario for again.
Long view.
I can't think of man, come on. Green is not sad. No, I don't know. I can't think of
it. What's that? What's the ballad they play? The famous one?
No, man. Come on. I'm not that big of a Green Day song. It's just like punk for me started with Green Day, so that's why I kept singing Green Day. I could have said way more cool bands, but
Purina Hall of Fame by Propagandhi.
I like the cows.
No, I don't know.
You Are the Government by Bad Religion.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What's a good Descended song to end your life with?
They're all happy, man. They're not sad.
Fine.
Are you taking a
Tosca song?
Sure.
Okay, fair enough. These are rapid questions. It's taken far too long. This is the last question I ask everyone. As of today, what was the best day of your life?
Damn, when was the day my son was born? Adriano, yeah. That's the day.
Want to give a little shout out?
Yeah. Balu, my son Adriano, what's up?
Right.
Daddy loves you.
Today is the best day of my life. It just keeps getting better.
Nice.
Yeah, every day. Every day. There is no better.
Cool, man.
Out of your worst dream mode, racist and sensate eating machines, and they're clever.
So I want to thank you guys a lot for coming in. It's been fun. Mario, Joel, Eric, Belanana.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
And I think we talked about it just previously, but do you want to give some details of the next show you're having? Like where it is, what's going on, who's playing with you?
We're playing at De Cuff on Friday, June 11th with...
Friday? It's a Monday, dude.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday, not a Friday.
Okay, fine. Monday, June 11th at Cafe De Cuff with a band from New Jersey called Keep Flying, who are a punk band that have like a bunch of horns in them and stuff. It's going to be cool. Fun.
Is that Pandemonium?
Yes.
That's Pandemonium.
Yeah.
And friends, so they're looking for other bands.
Yeah, I think we're going to fill the lineup shortly.
Yeah.
Cool, man. And what's your links to so people can listen to your music? You said you had a band camp and
yeah, we've got
Belanana at what's it spelled Belanana.
Yeah,
at or .bandcamp.com or whatever it is.
You can download our album for free, or you can buy it off us live at shows. We're not going to make the mail busy with this stuff. We're just selling them live.
Cool, man. Well, like I said, I want to thank you guys again for taking the time and coming in. It was great getting to know you a little better. If you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at eagleandvice@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, if you want me to play some music on the show, or if you just want to come in, I'll make a whole show about you. You can listen to the podcast at eagleandvice.com. They're all up there for free. You can find me at iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, Facebook, all those outlets. But hey, man, Belanana, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
All right, this has been Ego and Vice, episode 35. We'll see you later.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.